Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Hey, and it's another all Cal episode. Yeah, no Meredith, no Celeste, no Brenda, but that's all right. It gives us some one-on-one quality time. By the way, if you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video is additional text, additional links, additional graphics that just make this podcast all that more valuable for you. All right, let's see here. Oh, I should introduce myself. Usually my co-host does that. Again, I'm Cal Banyan. I'm the CEO and owner of the Banyan Hypnosis at Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services here in Tustin, California. We're a state registered school of hypnosis and hypnotherapy. I am the developer of the 5-Path Hypnosis System and also the writer of the 7-Path Self-Hypnosis System. And I'm the kind of the hypnotherapist and the trainer of the top hypnotist in the profession. All right, let's see here. Oh, I got a couple things that is kind of exciting. Last week, I had a call from the National Guild of Hypnotists, Dr. Dwight Damon, calling me and asked me if I'd like to be a presenter at the upcoming Solid Gold Weekend. Happens February 2014, next year, and it's always great. It's where they select the most popular, among the most popular speakers of the National Guild of Hypnotists Convention. Bring them all together for one fabulous hypnotic weekend in Las Vegas. So I'll be talking more about that as we get closer and closer to February. I will be speaking on... the exact title hasn't come down the pike yet, but it is going to be about mastering hypnotic age regression, unless some other great idea comes up. All right, let's see here. This is something I've been wanting to do for a long time. I've got some notes here, and let's see here. It's time to address some hypnosis basics, some techniques, and some concepts. And one thing interesting about our profession is even though it might be what we would consider to be a basic concept, it can still be very controversial. And so I reserve the right to change my mind when confronted or informed of something I didn't know about before, but this is what we've been teaching for a long time, and it seems to be standing the test of time. So I'm going to give you some ideas to think about. If you want to add something or if you want to disagree, please do so in the comment box below, because we do hope that this podcast, calbanyan.com, will be an open forum for exchange of ideas. All right, let's see. I'm always surprised when I have hypnotists who've had previous training come and take my courses. It could be the Week of Power course, or it could be the full 10-day certification course, and that they do not have a firm grasp of the fundamentals. Now, I'm not a huge football historian, but I know there is a great trainer, well-respected coach in the world of the football. And he's no longer coaching, but he's very well respected in the history of football. And every season, he'd have all these professional football players out there on the first day of the season. And these guys, they've been playing football, some of them since they were 5, 10, 15 years old. I mean, they know football. They've eaten it, breathed it, pooped football for all their lives. But he had an understanding that fundamentals were the basis of everything else. And he would stand up in front of them with a football in his hand and say, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And he would begin to go over the most basic, most fundamental things, because he had to make sure that the basics, the fundamentals were solid. He couldn't assume that stuff. Maybe they learned basics and fundamentals from a different teacher, and they had different ideas about it. They needed everybody to agree upon the basics and the fundamentals. And doing so in our profession could only lift the profession. So today I'm going to talk about And probably this will spill into another podcast also that will be come out to you next week, talking about the fundamentals. So as we get some terms defined and some principles explained, the following are some brief explanations of some of the basics I cover in our National Guild of Hypnotists approved Banyan Hypnosis Certification Course Level 1 manual called Hypnosis Mastery, a Foundation for the Hypnotherapy Student. Okay, so here we go. The most fundamental thing. What is hypnosis? Now, gosh, you know, if I have fun with this sometimes at the National Guild of Hypnotists, I'll be teaching a class or giving a talk or just standing at the bar having a drink and other hypnotists are around me and I'll start the conversation. So, what exactly is hypnosis? And in our profession, it seems there's almost as many definitions of hypnosis as there are hypnotists. Now, coming from a background of psychology, I understand this concept that different schools of thought will tweak their definitions slightly. But our definitions in our profession, for even the most fundamental things such as what is hypnosis, seems to be all over the place. And so, I'm going to offer a definition that's maybe different from the one that you've learned. Hypnosis, in the most general terms, is a heightened state of suggestibility. That's what it is. That, now there's a normal state of suggestibility. People walk around in varying levels of suggestibility all the time. We are more suggestible to professionals with regard to the topic of their profession. We will just accept what they say without rejecting it. If we're in unique situations where we don't know anything about it, we tend to be more suggestible to those who are in charge, and so on. So even in normal waking consciousness, I don't even like that word waking, in normal suggestibility, where there's varying levels of suggestibility, but hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility where we purposely go from normal levels of suggestibility to a heightened level of suggestibility. Now, this is a really good definition if we understand what suggestibility is. So, in order to define hypnosis, we need to define what suggestibility is and what a heightened state of suggestibility is. So I did a little bit of preparation, okay? And, oh, by the way, before I go on, what hypnosis is not, hypnosis is not sleep. We now understand that. We have some misnomers in the profession. And there's some techniques that are built around the concept of sleep. But we understand now that hypnosis is not sleep. If you use the word sleep in a technique such as the eight-word induction, where we use the word sleep, and by the way, just look up Cal Banyan eight-word induction, and you'll learn how to do that on the internet. Okay? You must, in your hypnosis pre-talk, tell your clients that if you use the word sleep, it's just shorthand. It's just a signal that means go deeply relaxed with your eyes closed as if you were asleep. But we never want to confuse sleep with hypnosis because hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. And I've never come across one shred of evidence, either scientific or anecdotal, that would lead me to believe that that sleep has the component of being a heightened state of suggestibility. So what is suggestibility? Okay, how a person is able to accept suggestion, which varies according to one's receptiveness at the time. Okay, so there is either you are receptive to suggestion or non-receptive and rejects suggestion. So at any time in normal consciousness, we have varying levels of suggestibility. Then I go on to say, the greater the suggestibility that an individual is experiencing, the greater the effect that suggestions offered will affect that person's perceptions of reality, including what she senses, such as touch, sight, smell, taste, and hearing. So as we go from regular levels of suggestibility, which can have an effect on touch, taste, sight, smell, and hearing, things can seem rougher if we believe that they're going to be rougher. We can think that smells are going to be stronger if we somehow expect them to be stronger, and so on. Okay. But in a heightened state of suggestibility, suggestions given by the hypnotist can also affect habits, emotions, and behavior. In the highest levels of suggestibility, okay, which would of course include hypnosis, and in these highest levels, they're most commonly thought to be called somnambulistic levels of hypnosis, we can profoundly affect perceptions, include causing amnesia, anesthesia, and both positive and negative hallucinations. So, suggestibility is a continuum. There is a range that we would call normal suggestibility without hypnosis. We are more suggestible in some situations than others normally, according to how much credence we give an individual who's a so-called expert, for example. Also, in completely unique situations where we know very little about anything, we tend to be more suggestible to people who are in charge. Perfectly good explanation or example of this is like when one goes into the military. You go to a new place called basic training. It has new rules. If you're a guy, they shave off all your hair. Everyone gets a uniform, and everything is so unique. And in this unique situation, they can take the average guy or woman and train them and teach them and affect their attitudes and their beliefs about the world in 4 to 8 weeks in a way that could never be done. They don't hypnotize you, but they set up a circumstance where, though you're not in hypnosis, you're in that normal range of suggestibility, but you are at that extreme range of normal suggestibility. Then when we do something such as do a hypnotic induction, then what we can do as we induce hypnosis, what we're really doing is increasing their level of suggestibility in a profound way, so much that we can affect, in a more profound way, their touch, the senses, touch, taste, sight, smell, hearing. We can have them even hallucinate, not be able to feel something like anesthesia or analgesia, have them not remember things, amnesia, and so on, because they're so profoundly suggestible. And the hypnotist or hypnotherapist uses this deep level of hypnosis mostly to affect the individual's beliefs. For example, if they have limiting beliefs that are holding them back, to affect their emotions. For example, if they come in with fears or phobias or anger issues, this emotional stuff. And we can affect that using hypnosis. Let's see here. Habits. That's the other big thing. Because all this stuff, emotions, habits, and beliefs, they're stored in the subconscious mind. And in these deep level of hypnosis, especially somnambulism, we can have a rapid and profound effect on their beliefs, on their habits, and their emotions. And beliefs, habits, and emotions constitute the vast majority of what the consulting hypnotist or hypnotherapist does in their daily work. Okay. So there it is. That's what I want you to think about when you think about hypnosis. If someone says, what is hypnosis really? And you can just say, hypnosis is a heightened state of suggestibility. Human beings in the natural, normal waking state are suggestible, but only so much. In the state of hypnosis, to varying degrees, depending on how deep they are in hypnosis, and particularly when we get in these profound levels of hypnosis, somnambulism, we can affect their beliefs, their habits, and their emotions, which causes rapid change in people's lives. All right. So I've got some more stuff to talk about that. Please leave a comment down below if you want to add to that, if you want to disagree with that, it's all good. I'm going to skip ahead here because as I'm going through this list and I'm talking, I'm thinking about what makes the most sense to go over right now. And, well, let me just go through this as quickly as I can. When we do hypnosis with a client, we don't just say, hi, how you doing, sit in the chair and hypnotize them. If you know Cal Banyan, what I teach, I talk about systems. And I talk about doing things in a procedural kind of way. And so one of the first things we're going to do is we need to prepare them for hypnosis. We need to prepare them so that we can instantly or rapidly take them into that deep level of hypnosis. So we need to do what's called a pre-talk. Okay, so clients need to receive a pre-talk. A pre-talk consists of information provided to this potential client to increase an individual's ability to become hypnotized, generally consisting of information aimed at removing misconceptions they have about hypnosis that would cause them to be fearful of going into hypnosis. Most of our grads, when they go through our course, they pick up my pre-talk video where I spend about 20 minutes talking about how some of the misperceptions about hypnosis, misconceptions about hypnosis, and I talk about how hypnosis is a normal state of mind and that it is a safe situation to be in. And then nobody's really been harmed by just going into hypnosis, so that it's safe and it's natural. And so that's what you want to do with the individual. Now after that, what you want to do is do the pre-hypnosis interview. What is a pre-hypnosis interview? So we've talked about what is hypnosis, what is suggestibility. Now we talked about the pre-talk. And now I want to talk about what is the pre-hypnosis interview. It is the discussion that transpires between the hypnosis client and the hypnotist, in which the hypnotist learns about the history of the client's problem, including the nature of the problem, when the client believes the problem began, what the client has done to address the issue in the past, and any important information about what's going on now, current circumstances, and any future related events that would have an effect on what you're doing. And so you're finding out what they want to change, what they want to work on, the history of the problem, what's going on now, what's going on in the future with regard to the problem. Okay, and when that's done, you check to see if it's done by asking them this question. Would you like to do hypnosis with me now? And if they appear to be nervous or concerned, then that means that the pre-talk is not done and the pre-hypnosis interview is not done. You need to talk some more. You need to overcome any fears or misconceptions that the individual may have. And so you talk some more. You ask them, you know, I feel like you still might be concerned about something. What is that? You cover that, and then you ask again, would you like to do hypnosis with me now? When, and only when, they are perfectly comfortable with the idea of doing hypnosis with you, at that time, do you move on to doing the hypnosis session. Typically, I'll get permission to touch because I'm going to use techniques such as touching on the forehead, touching on the hand, the arm, the shoulder, and so on. But then I will do the hypnotic induction. What is a hypnotic induction? Okay, got it written down right here. A technique or process that makes an individual more suggestible than in the normal state of consciousness. It is usually a formal script spoken by the hypnotist. At our center and in our training, we teach rapid and instant inductions. The longest induction that I teach takes about 4 minutes, and it is designed to take someone from normal waking suggestibility into a deep state of hypnosis in 4 minutes. It has a built-in test for somnambulism. It's a modernized version of the Dave Elman induction. If you don't know this induction, please go to hypnosis.org, O-R-G, and on there I'll send you a link to a video and other material that will teach you how to do that induction. It will, if you're doing the long progressive relaxation induction or some other kind of hokey induction, then you want to get away from that. You want to go to an induction that is rapid and efficient and effective at taking people into the deep levels of somnambulism. Okay. Also, when you're ready, learn the 8-word induction, do instantaneous induction, or learn the time tunneling induction. Let's quit spending 5 to 20 minutes just inducing hypnosis. It's a waste of time. Here's one Banyanism. All things being equal, the shorter the induction, the more reliable it is. By virtue of the fact that the shorter the induction, simply there's less time for things to go wrong, such as the client falling asleep or some kind of distractive noise outside. Okay. So, I'm coming to the end of this podcast. In the next podcast, I'm going to talk about how do you know if someone is hypnotized? What does deepening really mean? What are convincers? Should you use them? What exactly is hypnotic suggestion or direct suggestion? What is compounding of suggestion? And more good, important stuff I'll be going through just for you. So, that's it. Another All Cal episode. By the way, I hope to see you in class. If you've not yet become 5-Pass certified, you definitely want to come to our upcoming classes. Now, if you want to come be trained by me in Tustin, California, we've got a class coming up October 14th. There's still time if you enroll now to save $150 early registration. If you want to take the class in January, we have the January class coming up. Enroll now and save $300. And we have one next year in October, October 14th. We also have our Week of Power class coming up on May 4th. That is for you who are already certified. You already feel competent and confident as a hypnotist. It's a shortened version of the course. We don't spend nearly as much time on the basics. We just get right into 5-Path, 7-Path, and such advanced concepts as those. All right. By the way, we've got to recognize that I'm recording this video today. It's going to be out in a week or two, and then it's going to exist on the internet forever. I realize that you might be watching this video in 2014 or 2024, 2034, and if I'm still training, then this you can always learn. You know, in case I'm 95 years old and I'm still training in 2034 or whatever, you can always go to calbanyan.com. My schedule is always up to date there. And if you can't get to our center, we have an online version, live, online, interactive. Be part of the class from the comfort of your home or office. And if you can't do that, we also have people who are trained, certified to teach our course in places like Canada, Scandinavia, the Middle East, Asia, across the United States. So gosh, there's just no good reason not to become one of the best, a Hypno 1%er, a 5-Pather. All right, that's it. Enough jibber jabber from Cal. This is Cal Banyan signing off.
This recording is a property of Cal Banyan and the Banyan Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.